I just want to do God's will.
The kind of revolution that the world needs is a Christian revolution.
If you want a miracle, you've got to expect it to happen.
You're the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, and you rejoice in that reality.
Welcome to Life Today Live. Good to have you here on this Friday. And, you know, the world has been watching what's going on in the Middle East, specifically around Israel. For a long time now, but especially with the October 7 terror attacks and then the recent unprecedented activity between Iran and Israel and Iran's proxies all around the region. It is a concern politically, but I know for a lot of Christians and Jews, it is a concern on all sorts of different levels. And what we're seeing here in the United States in support of terrorism is quite disturbing. And, you know, it's one of those topics that I follow closely, but we don't talk about a whole lot here, not because we don't care, but simply because it is an ever-changing fairly complex situation on some levels, but then on some basic levels, you know, you just talk about human life and the value of it. And I just, you know, it's a concern, a topic of prayer, I know, for many Christians in the country. Well, I'm excited to have a gentleman who works on the front lines, first response in Israel. His name is Aryeh Myers, and he joins us. He is a paramedic and works with the International Relations Divisions for Magen David Adom, which in the United States would equate to first responders, ambulance, hospital, blood supplies, and things like that. And so he's seen some really horrific things, and the organization has responded to thousands of needs over the last few months. And so, Aryeh, great to have you on Life Today Live. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Just, I'd love to start a little bit with some of your personal experiences because, I mean, you know, the attacks in October and the ongoing, I don't know if all Americans, we tend to be a little myopic, realize that you guys are under attack every single day. There's something going on. What have you been responding to?
So since the 7th of October, like you say, there have been red alerts or rocket alerts pretty much every single day since then. It's not that it all happened on October 7th and then stopped on October 7th or October 8th.
Right.
It has been an ongoing battle. And even before Israel retaliated in any significant way, before the IDF went into Gaza, we already started seeing very negative response from the world. Nevertheless, Magen David Adom was the first on the front lines, treating the casualties, reaching extremely dangerous areas. Our teams came under a rocket fire, direct gunfire by the terrorists. We lost 4 members of staff on the first day of the war. Mm. 14 of our ambulances were destroyed then as well. But since then, we've had to deal, and even on that day itself, we were dealing with the routine emergencies. Like you said, like in your introduction, Magen David Adom is Israel's national EMS organization. We act as very obviously the ambulance service for the state of Israel, but we play multiple roles as well as that. We are also the blood services, so we collect and provide the blood supplies for all the hospitals in Israel, for the IDF, ensuring that we have collect at least 1,000 units every day. That's our minimal aim, and we're there to provide that aid in routine times and emergency times as well. Obviously, the 7th of October was extreme. We received something like 21,000 calls on that day, as opposed to a normal Saturday, which would have been 4,500 calls there or thereabouts. But since then, we've been trying to build up our fleet. We relied very heavily on our volunteers as well. We are largely a volunteer organization. We have some 3,000, just over 3,000 members of employed staff, but we have 33,000 approximately volunteers. So 90% of our workforce are volunteers, and we called on them right at the beginning of the events of October 7th, and they came in their masses, making sure that every single emergency vehicle, so that was 1,400 ambulances and all the motorcycles, All of those were manned within the first hour of the war. Normally on a Friday night shift, we'd have about 350 ambulances on shift. But within the first hour, we had every single vehicle. So like I said, about 1,400 of the ambulances, all the medicycles, the helicopters, whatever else needed manning as soon as we possibly could was manned by our staff and our volunteers, including bulletproof ambulances. In a civilian setting, it's a concept which I still find difficult to accept that we need these bulletproof ambulances. But half of our fleet that day was also sent down to the south in order to enable us to respond to what was going on there.
You mentioned that you lost some ambulances. Is that a normal thing for the people to target the emergency responders, or is that something that has risen recently?
So around the world, ambulances are a protected entity, as are ambulance staff, medical staff in general. If there is a symbol that shows it to be a medical organization, under every humanitarian and international law and laws of rules of engagement in war times, medical staff are protected. And that's pretty much been the case ever since this organization was established back in 1930. And we've never come under direct attack like we did on October 7th. Mm-hmm. And initially, we actually thought that it happened because there was a war. So our staff kind of got, as it were, caught in the crossfire. Several days into the war, we were informed by the security services in the state of Israel that they'd found on the Hamas terrorists plans directing them to where the ambulances were, to the ambulance stations, to try and take over the ambulance stations. In exactly the same way that we know that, and we saw the tragic responses in Sderot, which is a town very near the Gaza border. The police station in Sderot was taken over by the terrorists. There was large number of police officers who lost their lives there. And their plans for the ambulance stations were exactly the same.
How long have you been in service with Magen David Adom there in Israel, personally?
So I moved to Israel 12 years ago yesterday. Okay. I've been with Magen David Adom pretty much since then. I started off as a paramedic in the United Kingdom. And then I moved to Israel with my family about 12 years ago.
Yeah. So my question is, have you ever seen it this difficult, this bad for you guys?
No. We've never faced anything on this scale. We've faced mass casualty events, whether they're sort of on a civilian basis, whether we're talking about major vehicle crashes, things like that. We've seen terror attacks, all sorts of different scenarios that we've faced, but we've never seen anything like this, and we've certainly never come under a direct attack, not on our staff, not on our ambulances, not on our stations, like we did on October 7th.
How has that impacted the first responders there, morale especially?
So one of the things we've seen is the resilience of the Israeli people as a whole, and the staff and the volunteers in Magen David Adom in general, in sort of very specifically. People are always looking for the way they can help the general population, and whether that means being on the front line as a paramedic, or an EMT or an ambulance driver, whether that means coming in as one of the phlebotomists for the blood services, whether that means our youth volunteers who we have, as a general background, we have 15 to 18 year olds who volunteer on the ambulances. They undergo quite an intensive course and they volunteer that's how they graduate high school, with a certain number of hours of volunteering for the community. Wow. So at the beginning of the war, we took them off the ambulances, which they didn't appreciate, because they really want to be there and they want to be helping as much as they possibly can. Nevertheless, we obviously didn't want to expose our teens to the sights and what was going on, to the dangers of the war. So they found other ways to help the community, whether that was holding food drives, whether that was going to help kids who'd been evacuated from their homes. I'm sure you're aware, tens of thousands of Israelis were evacuated from their homes, bordering the Gaza Strip, also bordering the northern border with Lebanon, where we've got issues with Hezbollah. And they were placed in hotels and in all sorts of different places to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And our volunteers made sure that they went and interacted with them, just to kind of give them some sense of normality as much as we possibly could.
That's incredible. And recently, you know, when over 300 rockets and drones came directly from Iran into and around Israeli airspace, unfortunately, you know, the Iron Dome, what is it, David's Sling, or is it, what is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was able to take out the vast majority, which is a tremendous military accomplishment. But at the same time, this is something you've never seen, despite all the rockets coming in from, you know, the Palestinians and Hamas. And what was it like to watch those exploding over the skies of your country?
To be perfectly honest, I was actually in the States when this was happening.
Okay.
But my family obviously were here in Israel, and I was on the phone with them, and I was watching what was happening in real time, and they were describing seeing the Iron Dome in operation, and it was a situation we knew was coming. We had several hours, as it were, to prepare for it in certain cases with the drones that we knew they were going to take some time to get here. But again, you're talking about ballistic missiles that you don't have a lot of time to prepare for. And again, Israel has spent a lot of money and a long time, many, many years, preparing its civilians, first of all, and instructing them in exactly what to do, how to seek shelter, where to seek shelter, finding the best way to try to look after themselves, but also putting in place all of these different infrastructures. So whether that's having a safe room in every home that's built, there's a safe room. Whether it's having this Iron Dome and the other missile defense systems that are in place, and having this basically this miracle occur where the vast majority of these incoming missiles, whether they were drones, whether they were ballistic missiles, whether they were surface to surface, but whatever it was, that most of them were stopped, and very, very minimal injuries. Unfortunately, a 7-year-old girl was actually critically injured. From the Bedouin community, she was treated by Magen David Adom and evacuated to hospital in critical condition. And there were a few other very minor injuries, and that in and of its own was an amazing, amazing feat for the state of Israel. Yeah. Nevertheless, because we knew that was coming, because we had this threat in place, again, Magen David Adom mobilized in a way to make sure that every single emergency vehicle was manned, including bringing some of the vehicles sort of out of storage as well. We have emergency vehicles that are placed in storage to make sure that we can respond to huge events, whatever they might be.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, I mean, when you guys respond in the state of Israel, you know, you're not checking the DNA of the individual you're treating. You treat everyone, Jews, Arabs living in Israel, anyone who needs help. You guys are there for them, correct?
Not only do we treat anybody, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Druze, Bedouins, whatever it is, but our staff and our volunteers are made up of that exact same population. So every single community in the state of Israel is represented amongst the staff and the volunteers of Magen David Adom. So I can start my shift talking to one colleague in Arabic and another colleague in Russian and another colleague in Amharic if he's just recently moved from Ethiopia, and the whole range of whoever exists and lives here in the state of Israel is represented within the Magen David Adom staff. And so it doesn't make a difference to us who the patient is, it doesn't make a difference who the staff member is, whoever is there we'll work with. Nobody gets a different deal, and you'll find at the moment we're celebrating the festival of Passover. And on the first night of Passover, we have the Seder night, which is a very, very important celebration amongst the vast majority of the Jews, even those who are not necessarily religious, but they will celebrate that night as well. And you'll find that if you go around the stations, you'll find that the Christian and the Druze and the Muslim staff and volunteers will be covering most of the shifts on that night, because we know that most of the Jews want that night off. Same with the festival that just ended at the end of Ramadan. There's a 3-day festival that the Muslims celebrate. You'll find that most of the Muslims took time off from work, took time off from volunteering, and the Jewish staff would do extra time, extra hours to come in to cover those shifts. And that camaraderie and that partnership is something that's very rare in Israel, but nevertheless, it's very much a beacon of what the positivity that we could see in the state of Israel, and we do see in the state of Israel, and especially within Magen David Adom.
Yeah, and I bring that up to make that exact point, because I think a lot of people, especially here in the United States don't understand that Israel is functioning as a multicultural state in a part of the world where you don't have a lot of those, you know. If the rest of the region would take the attitude that you're describing that you live with every day, help everybody, work together, we wouldn't have these problems over there. You know, the whole region could be peaceful. And so that's one reason that I go, okay, you know, you're Orthodox Jew, I'm a Christian. We don't agree from a theological standpoint, right? But we can still live together and support each other and show some kindness and help. And I really, I wish we would understand that. We're seeing a lot of stuff over here, I mentioned at the top, that is really disturbing. And a lot of it's born out of ignorance, but there's a lot of genuine hatred too. And I just, man, I love the example that you guys provide and live every single day that says, look, we can live in peace. We can coexist together.
So you have to take into account that the state of Israel is a Jewish state, and it's got a Jewish majority, obviously the only place in the world that does.
Yeah.
But we also know and recognize and understand that 20% of the population, that's not an insignificant number, yes, it is a minority, but 20% of the population is not Jewish. And they could be Christians and they could be Muslims. And again, it's the only place in the Middle East, the only country in the Middle East where the Christian population is actually growing. Mm. It's the only place in the Middle East that you can have this freedom of worship to follow whatever path you want to follow. And yeah, you're right. You and I might not agree, but we'll be able to sit over a cup of coffee and talk about it.
Yeah.
And having this place for everybody to come and volunteer, for everybody to go and save lives, which is what we're all about, is an amazing thing. It's an amazing example to the world. And it's something that we share with the world. And it's part of the reason we have an international relations department is to talk about exactly this, that the state of Israel or the Magen David Adom is a microcosm of what the state of Israel is. We recognize all the minorities. We accept all the minorities. We'll treat anyone. And again, we'll work with anyone. And it gives us an insight into different communities. So whereas I might not understand as much about the Muslim community as I do about my own Jewish community, chances are I'll be working with somebody who is from that Muslim community and is able to share their wisdom, their knowledge, their understanding, to communicate better, whether it's on a language basis, whether it's we're talking about sort of the cultural basis, they'll have much more of an in, and that gives us, again, as an organization, all we want to be doing is protecting lives and saving lives. And that's what it's all about. And it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference to us who that person is or what their background might be.
Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful thing and something that we as Americans should all support and defend. I want to show a website real quick. This is afmda.org. It's the American Friends of Magen David Adom. And if you want to help support what they're doing to save lives, this is a website where you can go. You can learn about what they're doing. You can see some updates. And you can actually support and help people who are saving lives of everyone in need. And, you know, that's what we do here at Life Outreach International all the time around the world. You know, it's about saving lives. And we do it from a Christian background, but we don't check the beliefs of people in need. We just help them. Right. And I love that that's what RIA's organization does too. So I'm curious, when you see, you were here in the United States recently, so you've seen it. I mean, you've seen it on the news. And I just, in fact, interviewed, who did I have yesterday? Someone who was going to Columbia University today to basically say, look, no, this is, you cannot treat people like this, in this case, Jews, like this. But I never thought that in my own country we would have to take that stand of no, you can't call for the extermination of an ethnic group, right, or religious group. What do you make of that? Because, you know, America's been a friend of Israel for decades, but there's some things going on over here that are very disturbing.
So again, I can speak personally, as a Jew, what we're seeing are some very, very difficult scenes. Whether that's college professors who've been banned from their own from entering their own universities, mm-hmm. whether that's students who've come under verbal assault, physical attacks, all sorts of situations that are really very, very difficult. And a lot of it comes from ignorance. I'm sure you've seen the videos where they're interviewing college students and asking them simple questions like, if you're chanting from the river to the sea, which river and which sea? And very often that knowledge doesn't exist. There was a video I saw yesterday of a student, I think at Columbia, and she was asked, why are you here protesting? And she said, well, because we came from one of the other colleges and we came to here. Yeah. We're just protesting against Israel. But she didn't really know what she was protesting for or in favor of. And, you know, it makes it very difficult. We look at our friends in the United States as friends, and we've had a huge amount of support, again, from across the board, from the Jewish communities and especially from the Christian communities as well. We've had a lot of support, whether that's in the form of emotional support, whether that's in the form of financial support. You mentioned the website, and we are, again, we're a volunteer organization, mm-hmm. and a lot of what we do is through donations that come in. And if it makes it any easier to find the website, you can use savinglivesinisrael.org as well, which is especially aimed at the Christian population. And we're seeing that, and whether you're looking at on the political side of it, whatever you're looking at, again, we see and we appreciate the help that we are getting, but we also understand that the situation is worse than it has been for some time, and any sort of anti-Semitism that was bubbling just below the surface has all of a sudden not only come to the surface, but it's very much exploded outwards as well. And that's something that we're trying to deal with on a national level, on a personal level, and kind of anything in between. As an organization, again, we're here to do one job, and that job is to look after the citizens in the state of Israel. And part of one of the roles we play as well is also as the National Red Cross Society, which means that we've actually sent teams in the past to different parts of the world, whether that's to the Philippines, whether that's to Haiti, whether that's after Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. Whether it was to Turkey after they had the earthquake, whether it was to Ukraine with the war situation there. We've sent teams under the flag of the Red Cross and the Magenta Vidadom to go and help whoever needs that help. And if you look at the Turkey situation, for example, the love we've received in response has not exactly been warm and friendly. Nevertheless, we are there because it is the right place for us to be. It is the place that we need to be able to save those lives, to use the experience we have, to use the skills that we have, and wherever it is across the world. And even, like I said, after Hurricane Katrina, so even in the States, we've sent teams because they've got expertise in search and rescue, in mass casualty incidents. Whatever it is, we're there because we need to be there, because it is the right thing to do, because saving lives should never come into question.
Yeah, I love it. It's Eric Metaxas that was actually at Columbia last night. I'll have to follow up on that. And that student you're talking about, she was actually a Columbia student who had gone to NYU to support their protest and had no idea what she was even protesting. And, you know, I saw in our own Congress, someone was testifying, and there were people holding up the red hand, and, you know, as an American of Irish descent, that was not the red hand of Ulster. You know, I know what that red hand represents to the Jewish people and to the Arabs in that region, and that is, it represents murder, in case someone doesn't know, but it's really horrifying. This is the time where we all have to do whatever we can to stand up, whether it's just talking to someone about it or doing a program like I'm doing right here. We have to stand up and say, no, this sort of murder, for whatever reason, religious, ethnic, I don't, political, it doesn't matter. We have to stand against it. And I appreciate, again, it would be real easy for you guys to go, geez, we weren't received very well over there, so we're not going to help them again. But you keep going back to help people who are in need, and that is, it's in the Christian world, that's the story of the Good Samaritan, and so that's what I support, and so we appreciate you guys doing that. And this is a question that requires speculation, but I'll ask it anyway. What do you think is going to happen there with the situation with Iran, with all the proxies? And it's been tenuous. It's been difficult. Do you think it'll calm down? Do you think this is going to be an ongoing situation? Do you have any sense at all?
So the state of Israel has been facing war, conflict, call it whatever you like, since before its establishment. Yeah. There have been quieter times. There have been less quiet times like we're facing at the moment. As an emergency services organization, we always have to hope and pray for the best, but we also have to prepare for the worst. Mm-hmm. So that means that with the threat from the north, with Hezbollah, whether that's the threat from Iran, whatever it is, we need to be prepared. That means increasing the number of vehicles, increasing the number of bulletproof ambulances, being prepared for whatever might happen. On top of everything else, we also live on a fault line, so we every so often get earthquakes as well. Just to add that into the mix. And again, it's something that we have to be prepared for. So we hope and pray for the best. And I know there's ongoing negotiations regarding hostage releases, which you'll notice is something that's never mentioned in any of these college campuses. The hostages that are held by Hamas at the moment is including a couple of Magen David Adom volunteers, is something that's kind of glossed over.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, we're prepared for the worst. We hope and pray that it never comes, but we've seen what can happen. We were caught very unaware of what was going to happen on October 7th. Mm. Nevertheless, I wouldn't say unprepared, because it's something we have been planning for in one way or another. It means that our dispatchers were ready to deal with whatever the incoming calls were. It means our EMTs and paramedics were ready to go out, risking their own lives at times to go and save other people. I was in an intensive care unit in the south of Israel on the night of the war as well. And we came under rocket fire. We managed to make it into a shelter that was on the street. And 3 seconds later, we heard the explosion and the shrapnel hitting the shelter that we were standing in.
Jeez.
So we're prepared. We're ready. We hope we never have to face another situation like we did today. But if we're there, the state of Israel is strong. The people in the state of Israel are resilient. And that's very much the case also for Magen David Adom.
Yeah. I appreciate the work you do. I wouldn't want to do it myself, to be blunt. But the fact that you're out there, it's a level of courage and commitment and dedication that is admirable. Is there anything else you want us to know, Christians, Americans, or those in the West, before I let you go?
So first of all, just to say thank you for hosting us, for getting that sort of the story out there. Again, we are mandated by the government, but we're not funded by the government. So we're also trying to build a bigger fleet and a stronger fleet. You mentioned the AFMDA, the American Friends of Magen David Adom website. Again, you go to savinglivesinisrael.org. Just an easier one, a catchier one to kind of put up on your side as well, and to say we hugely appreciate it. You know, the ambulances and emergency vehicles that are donated to Magen David Adom always have an inscription on the side of the ambulance, who they were donated by, or in honor of, or in memory of, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And when I start a shift as a paramedic, the first thing I do is to look at the door on the front of the ambulance that has that dedication, that inscription on it, mm-hmm. and kind of adopt those people as my partners in saving lives. So those of you who have helped us, who have supported us in whatever way that is, you're our silent partners, but you're very much a part of saving lives in Israel.
Again, I appreciate your work. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with our audience today. Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you guys out there watching. Hit that share button and let other people know what's going on right there on the front lines of a very difficult situation. And if you are a Christian or Jew, pray for the peace of Israel and for peace across the region. And if you haven't liked, follow, subscribe, I would invite you to do that. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today Live.
Sunday is coming.